This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
But I think at the fair I'd blend in because I spend my summers at my grandparents' home.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sister Jean, well, she actually had him going out in the second round. You know, her name's Mud there.
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
There's a 30, Jace Cannon turning on the Jetson inside the 10. Touchdown, Bullpups.
Everything happening in the sports world.
Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We're really funny.
Well, I'm really not.
I think you're pretty funny.
Well, that's just because I'm so confused.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the most popular man in McPherson, whether he believes it or not, Mr. Steve Sell.
I don't believe that. I don't even come close to believing that.
Well, then who is the most popular man?
Well, it's not me. It's probably Pav, as long as he's undefeated.
He's up there.
Yeah.
What about Coach Kinnaman?
Well, he's, you know, Coach Kinnaman. Yeah, I guess he's probably up there. Coach Stratton.
It just depends on your definition of the word popular.
Yeah.
Now, if you're thinking of, like, the popular girl in high school who everybody loves, if you're thinking, like, that type of popular, or if you're thinking more people know them, more people know who they are, recognize them, I think you're up there.
Nah. I'm just a
What about the mayor? Mayor Brown?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a
guy. He's a popular man.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Steve, I know you wouldn't got back out on the golf course yesterday, getting ready for some play this weekend. Ooh, what sounded like a rough day for you.
It's just
your
not
trip to the hospital has really derailed your
life.
Boy,
it is. You know, I just got back from Whistling Straits and was hitting the ball great at Whistling Straits, and then I go into the hospital. I don't get a play for about 4 weeks, and now I stink. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. I stink, and right now, I couldn't beat just a nominal ham and egger right now.
This is a great start to the show.
Well, I'm
today,
going to Heston
Steve.
Today, so we play in the I-35 Cup on Sunday at Heston, and I told our captain, Treg Fall, I said, Treg, if I'm not any good tomorrow, I said, there's no use for me to play and just give a point away. We got to have somebody that's competitive, and right now, I stink.
Steve, we've got a fun show today. We want to talk about Bullpup Soccer and their win last night over Rose Hill. 2-1 victory that we got to be on the call for last night. Also, continue to look ahead to what's coming up this weekend for the Chiefs, for the McPherson Bullpup football team. But before we do that, I've got something in my hands here that I picked up off of your desk.
Okay.
And that is your 2005 McPherson Sentinel Fall Sports Preview.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have referred to it as your tab.
Tab, yes.
And the reason you brought it in is because, well, there might be another celebrity on the cover that you stuck it on somebody's door. But I opened up the first page, and what I noticed, and I sent this to Coach Pav earlier today, the wording of this football story, getting ready for the 2005 McPherson football season, was a whole lot different than the wording getting ready for the 2018
that was before,
McPherson football
that
season.
That was B-T-Y.
Yep.
Before Tom Young.
The phrasing and the things that you said in this, it's pretty incredible the transformation that's happened since then. One thing I really thought was funny in this preview, and you hear this from some other programs, especially in basketball, where you hear, yeah, if we were in a 5'5" and under league, we could really be good.
Mm-hmm.
But you never hear that about the McPherson teams. Well, in 2005, if the Bullpups could be in a 200-pound and under league, they'd be really good. You know what that means, Steve?
We were small.
It means we're really small, not very good.
And we weren't good.
And that's kind of the way to phrase around that. you just look at some of the things that you were talking about in this story and the transformation that has happened in 14, 15 years from the fall of 2005, I guess 13 years, to the fall of 2018, and what one difference-making coach can do for a program.
Exactly, and I've said that many times.
And you look at any high school program throughout the state, any college program, any NFL program, it takes one guy, or woman, I guess, but one guy to get things going, to change the culture, whether it's a town with no athletes, whether it's a town that's full of athletes that don't play football, whether it's a program that has been established and been very solid for 30 years, if you get the right guy in there, things tend to find a way to work. And I was just pretty amazed at the differences from how you wrote the 2018 Bullpup Fall Sports Preview story and the 2005.
2005 wasn't a good year.
It looks like they were coming off of a 1-8 season, that or a 4-5. There was a 1-8 and a 4-5 right around
there.
Yeah,
I think they went 2-7 that year, maybe.
It's just, I was blown away by reading some of it because your writing style is still very similar, and it was nothing new to me. But it was just, it's funny because it's a whole nother culture, yeah. A whole new world.
Yeah.
You go from, well, maybe this team playing in the best league in the state can find a way to, I don't know, maybe win 2 or 3 games to, this is a team that has a chance to play for a state championship.
Right.
And I was very impressed by that also.
Well, I have 3 letters for you. SPS.
Yeah.
There was no SPS program before Tom Young.
For those of you that are unfamiliar, the SPS is the strength, power, speed, weightlifting, and workout program that they have at the high school. And at the middle school, for that matter.
And classes, yeah.
So, I wanted to talk about that just because it's been a nice transformation. And I sent that to Coach Pav. He said, yeah, it's a little different than it was in 2005. How would you have liked to seen this year's McPherson team play this schedule? I guess if you look at what these teams are like now. Campus, that would be a pretty tough game.
Campus, really good.
At Mays, pretty tough game.
Really good.
Derby at home, really tough game.
Yeah.
At Salina Central, probably a win.
Yeah.
Now, Hutch in 2005 at home.
Oh,
that would have been a massacre. But this year, it might be a massacre the other way.
Yeah, it'd be a win. Hutch is terrible this year.
At Arc City.
That'd be a win.
I think that could be a win.
Yeah.
Salina South at home.
Already beat them.
We already know the answer to that.
Yeah.
At Great Bend and at Hayes, those would be two pretty good games.
Very tough. Great Bend's really good. Hayes, I think, would be a winnable. You're looking at least 5-4, maybe 6-3.
The top division of the AVCTL in 2005, well, it did have the state champion in Hutch at the 6A level because I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the 2005 state championship game as the Salt Hawks obliterated my Olathe East Hawks.
Yeah.
It was a rough day.
Oh, I'm sure.
And that was a really good team, too.
Oh,
they were undefeated. They ran through everybody
and then ran the flex bone. They hardly threw the ball. They just lined up and just steamrolled everybody in their path.
You did a pretty good job on this magazine, Steve. I guess it's not a magazine. This is a newspaper.
How many pages was that one? I don't even remember how many.
Looks like
we got up to like 40. We had 40.
24, 25, 28, yeah. 30.
Yeah. Used to do is up to 40. Well, 32 because you took the cover. I took the cover off and gave it to our local celebrity, Casey Spotted Elk.
Yeah. You have a Bethany preview. You've got a Mack College preview. You have a complete preview of what's coming up for the KCAC.
Yeah.
Good work, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
How old were you in 2005?
Subtract
13?
Yeah, I'd be 48 then.
Oh, you were young and ton of life and feeling good.
Oh, yeah, I was spry.
You were a long way from getting over here.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed reading this today here, Steve, and there were a lot of names that I recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I've been here
remember
for
who,
over a
on
year.
On the 2005 football team, who was some of the... I don't even remember who was on that team. Who did I...
Well, there was a young man by the name of Trent Ruxlow, who was going to be the new H-back that they talked about in this set. He's not too bad. How about Tanner Hawkinson at 6'3"? I think he still had some room to grow.
Tanner Hawkinson, that was when he was probably a sophomore.
I think he was a sophomore at this time.
And he ended up in the NFL. Not bad.
You were very excited about junior Tucker Hawkinson, who was
he ended up being
the quarterback.
Yeah.
see some other names in this one. How about Travis Stites, Danny Matheny?
I use those as comparisons. Oh. Because Travis Stites was a four-time state wrestling
James
champion. James Anderson had some speed.
Eddie Penn.
Fast Eddie.
Colin Walk.
Colin Walk ended up playing at Army as a punter.
A lot of fun times came after this time.
Yes, it did. Let's just say from 1989 to 2005, it wasn't a fun time to write about bullpup football.
Pretty good time to write about bullpup basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Both boys and girls side.
Yeah, about nine state championships in there. Yeah.
All right, Steve. We'll move on in our conversation today. I want to recap bullpup soccer from last night, bullpup volleyball, look ahead to what's coming up for the rest of the week. The Chiefs and the Steelers. Are the Chiefs going to play against Big Ben?
Don't know.
Are they going to play against Steelers backup, who I don't know who it is?
It's not Landry Jones anymore.
I miss Landry Jones.
They cut him.
Chiefs beat him in 2015.
And I don't know who the backup is for the Steelers.
We'll have to do some exhaustive,
exhaustive
research. We'll be back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell on a little bit of a slow Wednesday here as people are regathering their strength, their energy, and getting ready for the sprint and the long day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
oh, yeah.
Sunday,
oh, yeah.
Some more Monday night football.
Yeah.
This is that day where there's not as much football news coming out, but one thing we do know is the Chiefs are going to take on the old nemesis.
Ugh.
The Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday at noon from Mustard Field, Heinz Field. I wonder if the Steelers will bust out the Bumblebee uniforms.
Oh, I hope. Those are awful.
But, seen lots of pictures of Big Ben Roethlisberger this week. He's a little dinged up. Le'Veon Bell.
He's out partying.
He's probably not going to be playing.
He's nightclubbing now.
So if there's no Ben Roethlisberger and no Le'Veon Bell, and the Chiefs' offense is in as good of a run as they're in right now, you actually probably have to feel pretty good.
If the Chiefs can somehow win in Pittsburgh, it changes the whole dynamic of the season.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it, I think if you're any Chiefs fan, you pretty much see Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh on the schedule. It's like, let's just flush that one down the toilet, move on to the next one.
It didn't go real well 2 years ago in Sunday Night Football.
When's the last time the Chiefs won in Pittsburgh? I have to look that one up.
It's probably been a while.
Oh, it's been a long time.
They won in Kansas City in 2015, lost in Kansas City in 2017, twice, I think. Well, I guess the 2016 playoffs in January. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
But Big Ben says he's going to play. The report is he's got a bad elbow. He threw four interceptions in a tie against Cleveland. Ooh. I mean, that's just like, that would be like the bullpup's tying circle, you know. But I don't think that'll ever happen. But anyway,
it couldn't happen.
But you know, the loss of Le'Veon Bell has kind of been eased because James Conner was like the number one fantasy football back after Alvin Kamara last week. I think Conner was the number two point producer for fantasy running backs. And he had like 30 carries for about 130 yards, and they were saying Le'Veon who after the game. Well, I still take my chances with James Conner over Le'Veon Bell. Trust me, I'd rather see the Chiefs play him with Conner. But I look for this game on Sunday to be very high scoring. I just feel like
yeah, the Chiefs gave up 547 yards last Sunday, and the Steelers put up 494.
Yeah, the Steelers are going to score at least 35. So if the Chiefs are going to win, they're going to have to score at least 36.
The Steelers are at this moment a 4-point favorite at home. And let's play out a hypothetical. Let's say Big Ben gets knocked out early in that game. Now, there's not only Mason Rudolph, the former Oklahoma State quarterback, after all of that exhaustive research that I just did, who is in their system. But also, they have Joshua Dobbs, who, remember, was at Tennessee.
Yeah.
You think if Ben Roethlisberger got hurt, he would have wished he wouldn't made some of those comments about, oh, I'm not going to help out that next backup. Did you see how well Sam Darnold did on Monday night?
Did a nice job.
It's because he's been getting help.
Josh McCown was an A1 professional.
Exactly.
In that game. They kept showing the sideline. He'd be sitting with him, going over, you know, they have those Polaroids now that they show immediately.
I don't think it's a Polaroid.
Well, they got the tablets, the tablets with the play on it. Josh McCown, you know,
And that could have been his job.
Yeah, he's a pro's pro. He's helping the young man out. He sees that this guy could be really good.
And Ben Roethlisberger, he got some heat because he was on the opposite.
You look at all the quarterbacks that came out, you didn't hear about any of them other than Sam Darnold. The other ones, Josh Allen was horrible. Baker Mayfield didn't play. Josh Rosen didn't play. Lamar Jackson, I don't believe, played.
He did.
Or did he play?
Yeah, I remember because they were beating the Bills like 40-0.
Oh, that's right.
At half.
Yeah, because of Peterman. Nathan Peterman for the Bills. God, is he awful. How does that guy have a job?
It's a little rough.
No, he doesn't this week because he got.
Well, Josh Allen did play.
Josh Allen's going to start this week, though. I saw that. Boy, Buffalo.
Well, I don't think they really have any other chance.
Buffalo may be the Cleveland of this year.
But let's say Roethlisberger goes down. And the Steelers have to turn to a rookie quarterback or somebody who will be making really their first appearance. I think this Chiefs team certainly has the edge in that situation. And even with where it's at right now, with Roethlisberger as a starter, maybe a little dinged up, to me, without Le'Veon Bell, I think the Chiefs have a pretty decent edge in this.
Well,
if their offense can come to play.
Yeah. And
if the offense doesn't show up,
and
then...
The thing is, this defense the Steelers have, although they don't have James Harrison anymore, it's still a great defense. And the Chiefs have had their problems moving the ball against the Steelers in past years.
What, you mean like the game where they scored 2 touchdowns and the Steelers didn't score a touchdown and won?
Right.
In the playoffs?
Yeah.
Still hurts.
What was it, 18-15 or something like that? Then they kicked 6 field goals.
I think it was 18 to, or might have been 21 to 19 or
yeah.
something well, along those lines.
I wouldn't 18, mind 16. If Pittsburgh kicked 6 field goals this week because I have Chris Boswell. In my
yeah, that would be week. Nice.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, let's take our final break. We'll recap all the action from last night as well as continue to look ahead to what's coming up over the weekend. We'll do that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Nextech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. Steve, fun night last night out at McPherson Stadium.
Exactly.
As the Bullpup soccer team picked up its third win in a row, improved to 5-1 with a 2-1 win over the Rose Hill Rockets. And one of the things we talked about during the game was they didn't get a whole lot of fight back from Rose Hill until 13 minutes left to go, when Rose Hill scored a goal, and all of a sudden, the Bullpups were pushed up against the wall, and I thought they reacted pretty well to that.
They did, and Coach Adrian said after the game, it's a goal that should have never happened. He said, you know, to be quite honest, this year, every goal we have given up has been kind of a freaky, fluky goal. It wasn't like a great play. It was more like a strange bounce or a guy came out, you know, overplayed a ball or something like that. It's not been, you know, like a J.L. Jaime goal, like the bomb he hit last night from about 35 yards. But this Bullpup soccer team, they were so close to scoring several other times, and that's what Coach Adrian talked about after the game. He was kind of frustrated because, you know, he said we were making great passes. We weren't finishing it, and I kind of likened it to a football play where four of the guys in the offensive line are making great blocks, and the fifth guy misses his block.
And then you've got Eric Fisher over there.
Yeah, you got Eric Fisher on the left tackle missing his block. But the Bullpups, I mean, it was a 2-1 game, but it could so easily have been a 6-1 game. Just didn't finish last night. Now, for Thursday's game, they have got to be able to finish because Salina Central, I believe, is 6-0.
They're undefeated.
They're really good. They've got tremendous speed. It'll be the fastest team we play the entire regular season, and that's why we play Salina Central. We don't want to play teams we're going to beat 9-0, 10-0. We want to play teams that are going to really push us and make us play to the best of our ability.
I was looking back this morning at some of the recent matchups with Salina Central in soccer. 2 years ago, Salina Central won here 3-2 in overtime, and the guy that scored the late goal is still on the Salina Central roster.
Okay.
Last year, the Bullpups were at Salina Central, lost 1-0. Same guy scored the one goal.
Yeah.
And he is second on the team in goals this year. I was reading your story from 2 years ago, Steve. I'm going to see if you remember this. It said that there was an official delay because one of the refs got sick.
Oh, I remember that.
And couldn't play, and they couldn't play anymore, so there was like a 40-minute delay
right.
Because the ref got sick.
He did. It was unbelievable. He went back to the locker room, and he was just ill. I mean, it was terrible. It was just and they held it. Now, last night, we only had two officials.
That's right.
And I asked McPherson, I athletic director Shane Bakus, why we only had two, why we didn't have a third, because, you know, we waited for an official to show up. Well, there's a shortage of officials in high school soccer this year. Some games are only going to have two officials. We happened to draw one of the short straws last night and only had two officials.
So Thursday night, really Thursday evening, as it's going to be a 5:30 start, which is a very different time slot than 7:30.
Thursday games,
it's a different temperature.
I think Thursday games are all like 5:30 when we have
makes
home,
sense.
When we have home games on Thursday.
But 5:30, the JVs will be at 4. We'll take the air about 5:20. And what might be one of the best matchups in all of the state in boys soccer on Thursday night, or really this week, 5-1 against 6-0. And one thing we talked about on the broadcast, Steve, Salina Central, a 5A school, a team that this McPherson team might see in the postseason.
Exactly. And again, Bullpups are, you know, all their preparations in every sport has been for 5A because they know they're going to be a 5A school. It's just, you know, that's the way, you know, the numbers are going to shake out. But this is going to be a great matchup because, again, you know, the Bullpups looked really fast against Rose Hill. I mean, they were easily the faster team. But they're going to probably be giving some speed away. Salina Central, they just have a bunch of guys that are like bullets out there.
So soccer picked up a win last night. Volleyball split on the road at Augusta, and we had this matchup circled since the first time getting the volleyball schedule because the Bullpups were going to play Rose Hill. Again, they won their first match against Augusta with fairly easy, and then Rose Hill lost 25-23 and 27-25.
Yeah, and Coach Doyle was proud of her team, though, and thought they played really well in that second set. They're serving for the match at 25-24. They don't get that. Rose Hill scores the next 2 points, wins 27-25. But if you can play Rose Hill, you know, take them into extras, you know you're a pretty good team. Because Rose Hill's probably going to win 4A. Bullpups will be a 5A school, so they won't have to worry about them. But boy, 5A in volleyball, my goodness, is it loaded.
You've got Lansing.
Oh.
You've got St. James. You've got St. Thomas Aquinas. You've got Bishop Carroll, who beat Rose Hill last week. Yeah, it's pretty
yeah, it's
tough
pretty
at
good.
That 5A level.
Pretty good.
So we actually will have a little volleyball on the air next Tuesday.
Yeah, we've never
Very
done
excited.
This before, so we'll see what happens.
Steve, I think you'll be a great volleyball color guy. It sort of has the same cadence to football, where you set up the play happens, and then it stops, and everybody kind of resets.
There will be no dead time for volleyball.
Volleyball on radio sounds awesome.
Okay.
Because if you've ever been to a volleyball match, you know that the girls scream a little bit. And so every point... Oh!
Well, it's about the only sport I know when you make a bad play, you get high five. It's like, it's just, that's what all the teams do. If you make, it's supposed to be encouragement. If I make a bad play, I say, get the heck away from me, you know.
But it's very fun to listen to on radio.
Yeah, but it'll be curious to see where Shane Bakus ends up sitting us. I think we're going to kind of just be right there in the stands right behind the scorers table.
Maybe we can just be right up on the floor, get right there close to the action, be excited about that. But yeah,
oh, yeah.
We'll work out our seating arrangement.
Well, and I think it's who win. No, it's who we have coming.
Augusta and El Dorado.
Augusta and El Dorado. So we handled Augusta. Even though Augusta should be pretty good, they've got some good athletes. I don't know how El Dorado is, but you know, Coach Doyle's husband, Trav
Mann.
He's an El Dorado grad, so that's got to be kind of hard for him to. Of course, I think he wants his wife's team to win over.
If he wants to keep
the peace at home, I think he's rooting for his wife's
team. I don't know if that's really a bold prediction there. Yeah, I would think he's probably rooting for McPherson. But we'll have a fun week next week. Tomorrow on the show, Steve, we have another Bullpup Football Preview Thursday.
There we go.
And it will be a little different than the Bullpup Football Preview Thursday of 2005, like we were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
We're excited about it. Again, we'll be going to El Dorado.
And that's a great place for us to call the game.
Oh, we're excited.
And for those that have not been to El Dorado, if you go to the game, they have a big screen scoreboard that is just monstrous. And they play back just about every play. So it's really cool.
Jumbotron.
Jumbotron's like being at a big-time game.
And then Soccer Thursday, Football Friday, McPherson College at home on Saturday night, taking on Southwestern. We'll be excited for that one, too.
Yeah. That's the ESPN does that game. So it's the Blake Reed Memorial game, too. So there will be a ceremony. They do a scholarship in Blake's name. Be curious to see who gets it this year, because, you know, in the past, they haven't had very many seniors to choose from. Well, there's 19 seniors on the team this year.
All right, Steve, we'll wrap up today's show. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Nextech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.